Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, May 15th. Thank you so much for having patience with us. This week, we are going to have to bring you a lineup of some of our favorite stories from Freaky Friday's past. Today, I went through and tried to find ones that stuck out to me in my memory, either because something happened that was funny or something happened that was weird and confusing, and I still want to know what actually happened. So as you listen to all of these, scrutinize them with every ounce of attention that you have, and let me know what you think. Head over to Patreon, leave us a comment on there, or leave them on social media. We would love to hear your opinion on either if anything like this has happened to you, or if you have some ideas of what potentially happened in these tales. And don't forget, if you have your Freaky Friday story, go over to sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday and submit it there for us. We'd love to read it on a future episode. In the meantime, don't forget to snag your cabin for Crime Wave 2.0. We're setting sail next February 8th through the 12th, 2027. I cannot believe we've got plans already out to 2027, and it's less than a year away. And those cabins will sell out, so go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister. Use code sinister when you check out to see us, the guys from last podcast, Side Stories. Casey from Case File is coming on stage to reveal who they really are in conversation with the amazing true crime writer, Vicky Petratus, who we've had on the show, and so many more awesome creators, as well as just the fun of a cruise. So don't forget to check out, I have a review of every day of our cruise if you go over to my Substack, Heather Versus the World, and check out what each day by day of what it was like going on the cruise and see if it's something you want to do with us. Go to crimewaveatsea.com, use code sinister to get $100 off your cabin and a meet and greet with us. We cannot wait to set sail with you all. But in the meantime, we hope that you set sail amongst these wonderful stories, and stick around next week when we've got part 3 on the missing and dead scientists, where we're going to dive into not only some of the final cases, the connections between cases, and the newly released UAP files, what we think they actually are, what we think they mean for all of us, and what we think is still really being hidden. So, which is actually a lot, but that Uncle Heather could have told you that. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. We will catch you next week. And in the meantime, enjoy some of our favorite Freaky Friday stories from Friday's past.
Well, we asked for hotel motel stories.
Holiday
and Lexi, Holiday Inn. Lexi came in with a good, well, actually Lexi's dad, which I love this. This literally brought a smile to my face when I was reading this, because we've had a couple of like updates recently of people's parents' stories getting read, and they're like, when my mom heard this, she
it, like,
cried.
Makes him so
yeah,
happy.
And it's like, yeah, and I'm like, because that is a cool thing, you know?
Yeah,
and
you're like, we love on the radio, when, but like not a radio, right, you know, it's yeah. like on demand.
When people listen together with their families or their partners and stuff and can share that, it always makes us super happy. And this is one of those examples.
Yeah.
So the subject of this is motel robber caught by resident ghost. Lexi writes, "Hi, ladies. Love the podcast. Hope I can finally see you live next time you're in the Buffalo or Toronto area.
July 19th.
When Heather asked for more hotel stories in last week's Freaky Friday episode, I immediately called up my dad and told him to write about one of his experiences as an owner of a haunted motel. This was the most excited that I'd seen him in a long time, and he emailed it back to me within 30 minutes. I know. So here's his story. July 25th, 1814, the bloodiest battle of the War of 1812, took place on Drummond Hill in the Battle of Lundy's Lane, Niagara Falls, Ontario. Canada had not yet been formed as a nation when British and American forces fought for what was then Upper Canada on that fateful night. Each side lost 800 men and many horses in the six-hour surprise slaughter. In the end, the Americans retreated, leaving the hill to the British. Oddly enough, what should have been designated and preserved as a historic site, we were granted approval to build our 35-unit motel on that very hill, just below the cemetery where many of the dead are buried. That year was 1986. We always respected and honored the significance of this site, even erected a large mural to commemorate that event. Needless to say, our motel was very haunted. Most notably, soldiers were seen by our small staff walking in the basement, as if they were alive, in the flesh. We never felt scared, but rather protected. We honored them, and they protected us. It was a couple years into our business that I was sleeping in the back room of the office when, during a severe thunderstorm, a loud crack suddenly woke me from a deep sleep. I thought it was thunder that maybe shook the place so hard it cracked one of the front windows. When I jumped up to open the curtain, there stood a stunned man, no more than 3 feet from me. Clearly, he had tried to break in, smashing the plate glass. I immediately snapped on the light and scared him off. In the thundering rain, he quickly jumped back into his topless Jeep and rode off. My first reaction was of joy that this thief was, at the very least, now getting soaked as he escaped the scene of his crime. It was 3 a.m. Rain was pouring down. Lightning struck all around us. And here, some fool thought it was a good idea to break into our motel. I put on some clothes and ventured out to check on the damage, when I couldn't believe my eyes. He had lost his wallet right by the window he broke. Everything was there. Name, address, credit cards, even some money. The police were just as surprised as I was. I forget what his name was now, but the cops went right to his home to return his lost wallet and proceeded to arrest him for breaking and entering. I can only imagine this guy's shock. The thief ended up in court. Turned out he was actually a front desk clerk at another hotel and, according to him, stopped on the way home to relieve himself in the nearby bushes. The judge didn't buy his story that it was just an impulsive lapse in judgment. He was fined and had to pay restitution. To this day, I believe that our friendly spirits protected us that night, 100%. No crime is simply that easy to solve. Lexi writes, "So ladies, what do you think? Foolish robber who loses his valuables too easily? Or soldier ghosts protecting my family? Either way, my dad can write a book of all the stories from our golden years at the motel. Hopefully, now in his semi-retirement, he'll finally get started. Thanks for reading, Lexi and Julius." Yes, like Julius Caesar.
Well, Julius, please write that book. I would read it. Your writing is so compelling. I was right there with you, man. I've like envisioned all of it. And I like the end of that's very beyond belief factor fiction. What do you think? Foolish robber who loses his valuables? That's fact. All of it is true. I really think you're right, though. The wallet being right there, like almost placed. I love the idea that the soldier's like, well, I'm a ghost, so I can't stop him. Let me just push him over, or like, you know, let just a little bit of energy, just enough to move a wallet. Yeah, a little tap, like something lightweight that you have enough energy. And maybe with the thunder and lightning, it like juiced him up somehow. I don't know how ghost energy works, but I like to think it like it's like Frankenstein. It helps him like get more energy.
They get zapped.
Yeah, they got zapped.
So, well, I do think that this guy was quite surprised. You know, he got home. He was like, son of a bitch. I don't got any. And one, because it's such a bitch to replace everything you lose in your wallet. But more importantly, you've left your little literal identification at the scene of crime you committed. You moron.
Yeah, what a fool. I love the respect for the soldiers, too. That's what Nelson from the Ghost Guild, our resident paranormal advisor, was always like, being respectful to the entities. And, you know, like when we were at the Battleship North Carolina, mm-hmm. like thanking them for their service and making sure you have almost like a rapport. Because like Julia said, like, we're building our motel here, but we're going to make sure we honor the site with not only just a mural and be like, yeah, I don't know, some dumb battle happened, you know, but like ongoing, like this is mm-hmm. an important place.
Yeah. And even though the city or the state, whoever does those things, might not have put it as like a historic site, the fact that you took the time to do that speaks volumes to your character, because a lot of people would just be like, I don't want anybody knowing that stuff happened here.
Yeah, it'll bum them out or whatever. And it's like, well, it's first of all, it's true. And second of all, it's like disrespectful to the lives that were lost for, you know, even though it was way back when, it's, you know, it's still the energy and the sacredness of that ground. So I love that. But yeah, get you to writing, Julius. Get out that old laptop, get you a notebook out, whatever it takes, and write that down. I want to read it.
For sure. This was very well written, and I would love to hear more stories like this. So thank you, Lexi, for sending this in July 19th. Just saying, you and Julius.
If I met Julius, I would die. Like, please.
Julius.
Would hit the ceiling if I met, like, are you kidding me? That's what y'all don't understand is you get stoked to meet us, but just as much, we get mm-hmm. so excited to meet you. Like, whether it's y'all sending a Freaky Friday story or you're in the chat on the Q&As or you're commenting on our Patreon Facebook group, like, we recognize your names and we're like, my God, it's you. So, please identify yourselves when we see you in Toronto on July 19th.
Yes, I'm very excited for Toronto, too. It's one of my favorite cities.
It's beautiful.
So. Very
in the summertime, shut up. Oh, it's going to be so good.
If you are from that area and there are places we need to go, please let us know, because I think we're going to stay for a few days to mm-hmm. get to just do some sightseeing. We went to the Toronto Islands last time, which was phenomenal. Might have to go back there. That boat
ride. I just
want to
ride the boat. Yeah, I want to ride that boat again.
I think about that boat ride often.
That's like a shut your eyes, like what's a beautiful place to be. For me, it's like there's certain areas in Chicago, which I'm also very excited for us to go back to. And then that boat ride, like that water. I think riding on water on boats and stuff is always like my happy place. So I can't wait. We'll see y'all soon. Soon! Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that feeling when your ponytail suddenly feels a little fuller? Or when you head out the door and realize you didn't even do that last mirror check to make sure everything's sitting right? Those small moments start to add up, and before you know it, you're just feeling like yourself again. Nutrafol supports hair health from within, helping you grow stronger, visibly thicker hair so that those that feeling win moments happen more and more often. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
This next one's from Luna, and it is called Arizona Cryptid Sighting, Red Ghost. Hi, ladies. Love y'all and the show. Luna from the Ducknails story here. Thank you so much for all the kind words about that story. To clarify, I did not tell 911 that, yes, it was an emergency. In my silly, bother-nobody girlhood, getting attacked was not an emergency. To any woman or girl listening, don't ever be quiet. And if it feels like an emergency to you, it is. Don't let your politeness affect your safety. You will never inconvenience a first responder. This is a story from my childhood in Tucson, Arizona. I was a child of the late 80s, early 90s in a very rural area. During the long summer days, despite the heat, my friends and I were outside from sunup to sundown. We had a little routine in which we would walk from house to house seeing what friends were available to play. We would gather drinks and snacks from the neighbors and set off on our adventures. One distinguishing characteristic of this area is the large Tanque Verde Wash. A wash is a water runoff path in the desert, like a dry creek. When it rains, the wash floods and becomes a creek. Our favorite thing in the world was to play in the wash with or without water.
During the summer, when the monsoons hit, huge amounts of natural grasses would grow to be about our size, 3 to 4 feet tall. In our adventures, we often ran into javelinas, wild boar, mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, huge predatory and scavenger birds, rattlesnakes, whip snakes, and sometimes even llama or goats that escaped from a nearby neighbor. Other times, horseback trail riders would pass through. Side note, how on earth did our parents let us do this? Another thing we liked to do was walk from the neighborhood through the wash to a natural hot spring called Agua Caliente. At this time, it was not a protected park, and we were able to swim and dip our feet in the hot spring. There was also a larger man-made lake that overflowed when it rained. It is still around to this day, but due to climate change, the springs are no longer flowing. Despite our parents being borderline neglectful, these were some of the most beautiful days of my life. One such day, armed with Capri Suns and flappy sunscreen hats, my 10-year-old friends and I made our way through the desert to our little swimming hole. We heard a somewhat familiar noise, shuffling and sniffing sounds coming from the tall grass. We blew our whistles, the only safety equipment our parents left us with. Any other animal we had encountered had immediately run away when we blew our whistles. Not this time. The snuffling and snorting and shuffling got louder and louder. Then, the grass began to part down the middle of the wash. We waited, expecting a herd of javelina or a roaming mountain lion. The grass that was parted must have been about 4 feet in length horizontally, meaning whatever was there was huge. But we couldn't see the animal itself. It was like it was invisible. We looked at each other as if to confirm none of us were crazy. We kept watching to see a humongous effing camel materialize out of the grass. And not just any camel. This camel must have been 30 feet tall, and it was deep red in color. What I remember very clearly was the dripping drool coming from its mouth and the sheer length of its eyelashes. It strode so quickly, it cleared the distance between us fast, and we began to run. I don't remember how we got back or if we even spoke about it that day. We all just went home and didn't talk for a few days. The next time we spoke about it, we all remembered the same thing. Flash forward 15 years. My childhood friends and I reunited for the retirement of our favorite elementary school teacher. We were drinking and reminiscing after much time apart. One of the childhood friends brought up the camel, and we all spent time marveling at how our imaginations must have been wild. One of the attendees at this party stopped us and asked if we had ever heard the story of the Red Ghost. The Red Ghost is an old myth dating back to the late 1800s. During the Civil War, topographical engineers used to use camels as beasts of burden to map out wagon roads. Legend has it that one such camel went rogue after the prospector on its back had died, and the deceased rider was commanding it to do evil. It caused havoc by tipping wagons and terrorizing settlers. Legend continues to say that it was shot, but the skeleton rumored to be riding on its back was not found. The Camel Corps was very much real, led by the Greek-born Ottoman named Haji Ali, or High Jolly. The origin of the ghost cryptid, Red Ghost, came soon after. I swear to the bottom of my absolute being that the Red Ghost is real. I don't care if I saw it as a child, I saw it. No, it's not a superstition born of a violent war. It is a real, wandering, drooling, blinking creature. And it resides in the Tanque Verde Wash in Tucson, Arizona. I've thought about putting up trail cams in that area, but I've never gotten around to it. If this gets read on the pod and anybody else has had an encounter with Red Ghost, I'd love to connect somehow. Attached is a picture of High Jolly and his wife. They can both get it. A depiction of Red Ghost and an illustration of the Camel Corps. So what do you think?
This is wild. I love childhood stories like this where there it makes me think of Stand By Me or It or something. Yeah. Where there's like a crew of kids who saw something unbelievable. And as an adult, you're kind of like, Surely, like, I'm remembering that wrong. But then when you get all together, it's like, no, it was very real. And it's like, oh, we all saw it.
And there's a backstory that makes it make even more sense.
Yeah, it's not like they saw a purple hippopotamus and it was like, oh, well, in this area, it's actually a red camel. It's like, it was weird. We saw a red camel. And it was like, oh, you mean the red ghost people have been seeing for 200 years? And it's like, yeah, that one. I guess that's the one.
That's wild. There's a lot of wild stuff to the story. One being, what if? Fun, fantastic childhood.
Right.
If you're not my kids.
I know.
Luna, I can't imagine like a croc hunter. Being like, yeah, there's bobcats and shit running all over the place. Have fun. But I mean, it was a different time. And honestly, I could have seen myself if we lived in an area with this doing shit like this too, especially my younger brother. He would have been doing shit like this for sure.
Oh, sure. Would have loved it. Loved that wash to play in. That's what a friend of mine grew up in East Tennessee and was like, yeah, there would just be like bears around. And I think now like, oh God. Back then you was just like, well, don't mess with them. They won't mess with you. If it's brown, lay down. If it's black, get back or whatever. And I was like, oh no. But yeah, that's quite a way to grow up. But having that background of like, I've seen a bunch of different animals. I also know how to react, which is, okay, well, it might be a javelina or it might be a mountain lion. We'll just get out of the way and let it pass. Like, again, it wasn't just some scared city kids out in the brush going like, we saw something crazy. It was like, we didn't see the animals we normally do. It was a big red camel.
A 30-foot tall camel. Dude. And the Camel Corps was a very real thing where they did use camels to, as Luna said, like beasts of burden, basically, to carry goods and stuff across long distances.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, truly, it does. If somebody dies on one and then it just runs around doing evil stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it seemed to be on a mission and didn't care that there were a bunch of kids there. It had other business to do.
Exactly. If you're going to run into an evil cryptid, it's always best if you do so when it's got an appointment to keep. Because it's just going to be like, get out of the way. And you're like, okay, sorry, excuse us, sorry. We thought you were a wild boar. But, well, yeah, everybody listening, if you are from that area or you have any experience or anybody in your family, like you have, you know, grandma saw it way back when or whatever, please write it in so we can connect you with Luna. So her mini version of the Camel Corps, the ones that saw it as a child, they know they're not alone.
Yeah, and we'll definitely read it on the air, too.
We've
got to get to the bottom of this.
We're going to solve it. Well, thank you, Luna. Sinisterhood will be right back. I'll tell you what, it's that time of year where everybody's making sandwiches to go on the boat, hamburgers, hot dogs, noodles, tortillas, tacos, everything like that. People still have health goals as well. So the days are getting longer, you got health goals, so you want to get with Hero Bread. They help you focus on your health goals and still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love, like enjoying a nutritious breakfast wrap, avocado toast, grilled cheese with a cozy soup, or family burger night. Their products are delicious and flavorful, but have ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and are high in fiber. I know the entire Wallace Brown family loves them noodles. Christy will be getting on them breakfast sandwiches. Paris loves the bagels. Christy loves the bagels too. They're soft, they're fluffy. These are people with high taste, high standards, and Hero not only meets those standards, they exceed them. They're better than other bagels. They've said it themselves. I've heard them say it, and it's true. You would never know it's low net carb and high fiber bread from the texture. Get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love with that next savory bagel breakfast sandwich. Do a late night grilled cheese on a bagel, or even have Family Taco Tuesday. Small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular 2 gram net carb Hero croissant and 5 gram net carb Hero noodles. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code creepy at checkout. That's creepy at hero.co.
Well, this next one is from Jamie. This is also one that we haven't really had before. And the subject line is, when your timelines glitch and twist. I want to start by saying thank you both for all that you do. Your caring about victims and your dedication to research does not go unnoticed. I'm a longtime Patreon supporter and continue to be blown away by all the extra content and love you so consistently shower on your patrons. And an extra thank you for joining Cameo. My birthday video was perfection. I wish I could reciprocate with the Bigfoot sighting, but alas, this is not what this tale is about. I often get the, don't I know you from somewhere? Or have we met before? Comments when out in the world. And I always have.
I brush it off as having one of those faces, but it does seem excessive. I never really thought too much about it beyond, ugh, here we go again, until the day that my husband and I can only describe is when our timelines got twisted. One night we went to a restaurant we occasionally go to. Think once every 3 or 4 months. The hostess gave us a huge smile and said, "So good to see you again," when she sat us. We just thought she was friendly. Then our waiter came over and said, "You're back so soon." We said, "Well, it's been a few months, but yeah, we're back." He looked really confused and started laughing. He said, "Today seems long, but I wouldn't call last night a few months ago." He then said, "What are we drinking?" Followed by our two drinks that we hadn't ordered or said yet, but he was right. When he walked away to get our drinks, my husband and I looked at each other with "what the fuck" written all over our faces. I said, "We were home having spaghetti last night, right?" And he said, "Of course we were." The waiter came back with our drinks, said an out-of-nowhere comment, and you could tell he was waiting for us to react. We just looked at him, and he said, "From last night, remember?" We said nicely, but emphatically, "My dude, I promise you we weren't here last night." Next thing we know, he's given our table to another server and keeps giving us weird looks the entire night as he walks by. He also went to the hostess stand, and they talked and looked at us repeatedly. As our new server leaves with our credit card after dinner, the original server goes up to her and looks at it. He then gives us a pointed and dirty look. At this point, I have no idea what's happening, but it feels like it's going beyond us getting punked or mistaken for someone else. As we're leaving, I hear him at the hostess stand, saying loudly for us to overhear, "Yeah, and it's even the same name on the credit cards. I don't know what the hell their problem is." We have a very rare last name, so even though my husband is a Mike, there are not many, if any, other people with our last name, especially in our area. There was no other charge on our card. You can bet I looked because I thought maybe we'd both had a joint hallucination about spaghetti at home. So we most definitely had not been there the night before, regardless of what the server and the hostess thought. I can only hope they didn't take it out on the other Mike and Jamie when it got untangled and they went back to that timeline. At least I know we're a ton of fun in both timelines and that we ended up where we're supposed to be. But it was easily one of the weirdest nights of our life. This was about 6 years ago. The restaurant has since closed, but every time I drive by it, I give a silent shout out to my other timeline. Keep it creepy, but in your own matrix.
Holy shit.
I thought you'd like this one.
Well, especially because I've recently found people on TikTok who talk about they believe that by performing certain ritualistic acts that you can switch timelines. And that, you know, if things aren't going very well for you, that you can essentially be like, all right, when I wake up tomorrow, it's going to be totally different. And this one woman who's done it, maybe it's the internet, right? I don't fucking know who this lady is, but talks about like you have to be ready to leave that other timeline behind and understand that it's still going to be your family, but they might have different memories and there may be different things that you're going to just have to accept. Like, remember when we went to SeaWorld and your kids are like, "We never went to SeaWorld." And you go and check the family album and you actually went to Six Flags, but you remember that you went to SeaWorld. Yeah. In that other timeline, you went to Six Flags. Here you went, you know, like vice versa. Like you.
What are the rituals?
It's like, I'll try to find it on TikTok again. I'm sure I probably saved it because it was so wild. But you say a certain thing. She's like, you say a certain thing so many times the night before and like drink a glass of water.
I've seen it. I've seen this. I think it's something. I am going to be in the timeline I need to be when I wake up or something like that. Yeah, I've seen one that's similar to that.
Yeah, it's something like that. Exactly along those lines. But my question was always what we're going through here is like if your consciousness then gets to switch into some other string on the multiverse, then what happens to the one that gets left behind or what happens to the one that you swap with? And it sounds like Jamie may have got swapped on and she's like, "The fuck, man, I thought we had spaghetti." And some other Jamie tried to hop timelines. You're going to have to fight when you run into other Jamie. Y'all either have to come together about it or you're going to have to fight to the death. But the bad one is the one with the goatee. That's how you know. I learned from South Park that your evil twin from an alternate dimension is the one with the goatee. But yeah, it's like wild. What do you think is happening here? You're our debunker, you Occam's razor.
I don't really understand. I can't grasp the concept of multiple timelines. I'm not saying I don't believe in them. I just can't wrap my head around it because it is such a vast thing to try and understand. So I need to do more research about multiverse and different timelines and how it would even be possible for something like this. I don't know. I don't have an explanation.
Deja vu?
But the waiter was and hostess were just wrong. They got their days mixed up, but it seemed like they were pretty adamant that they had just seen them.
Well, and especially if they knew the drink order and also had like inside jokes from the night before and knew the last name, if it's a weird, funky last name. That's so eerie though. Man, I'm sad that I wonder if in the other timeline, the restaurant's still open.
Jamie, you got to do the ritual, go to that other timeline and then be like, see, I told you I'm from the other timeline. Let's all be cool now.
Everybody just be cool. I'm going home to eat spaghetti with Mike. Leave me alone. Yeah, I don't know if I want. It's like the crazy part, too, is like, what if you do that? And I guess the idea in the TikTok from the woman I heard, which sounds like such a dumbass sentence.
When you were reading the news, the Weekly World News, you came upon this article.
Yeah, the things I've said before, I'm like, I read in the news today. All right, it was a tweet. I'm not going to lie. I read a tweet, but she was saying that if you do that and you jump a timeline and things aren't good, then you just do the ritual again. And I guess you just like keep hopping until you find where you're supposed to be.
If I did the ritual tonight and then in the morning I wake up in a different timeline, where's past me?
I think that this is already existing and your consciousness is hopping to another plane of existence. That's all what I was telling you when we tried to watch that video. And was it?
I demanded it be turned off because like, it was blowing my mind too much.
You're just like, I can't hear any more of this. I can't hear any more about how time's already happened, but never has. Yeah. How is that? And the physicists are like, well, Albert Einstein. And we're like, no, shut it down. But I think because of that, the idea is that it's linear and it's already existing. So this will still continue on, but your consciousness is going to end somewhere else, be somewhere else.
Well, then
else.
How does my consciousness in the other timeline, how does that Christy still like operate and walk around and do stuff?
Like I said, it's already happened. And so you're just hopping into another one that's already happened. And it's just existing.
See, I'm lost. I'm telling there. I consider myself a fairly intelligent person, but this is one thing that I just cannot understand. And again, I'm not saying that that means that it's wrong. I'm just not smart enough to figure it all out. I got to have it explained to me in like, I need a diagram. And I need it explained like I'm five.
Well, as you say, I disagree. I don't think that you're not smart enough to figure it out. I think that we haven't found a precise and clear enough explanation for you to explore the concept.
It's hard for me to grasp just vast concepts. I kind of need to like see it all mapped out and be able to understand it visually. So when it's just a concept I have to imagine, it's harder for me.
Yeah, I think intangible is more difficult than to understand. My friend who is an investment advisor and like a mathematical genius talked about when he was a kid, when the teacher would be like, all right, we're going to talk about apples, two apples, take away one apple. How many apples are left? And he's like, where did the other apple go? And the teacher was like, that was not my question. He's like, but where is it? And she's like, we took it away. He's like, did someone eat it? Where is it? And she was like, just take one away. He's like, who's got the second apple?
This is Ella. God damn, that's Ella.
Well, maybe someday she'll be a genius hedge fund manager like my friend because yeah, it's maybe. Like, and it was, for him, it was like, oh, well, I see it better when it's like numbers and you're not giving me like apples to take away. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Apples were too elementary for a little baby version of you. But
she's going to be a hedge fund manager or a cryptozoologist. I feel like those are the two paths for her.
What if she's a crypto cryptid zoologist?
Ooh, cryptocurrency for cryptids.
Yes, she captures the cryptids and then turns them into NFTs, and then they're priceless and valuable forever.
Oh, well, Godspeed. I hope in that timeline that's, I guess, already existing, I hope she's doing great.
She's doing great. The cryptid crypto good. Zoologist.
Well, thank you so much, Jamie, for blowing our minds with that one.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Cravings aren't just about nicotine. They're about the habit, the hand-to-mouth motion, oral fixation, the momentary pause. When that loop is broken, cravings spike. Fume replaces your habit with a flavored air fidget device that gives your hands and mouth something to do, distracting cravings without nicotine, vapor, or batteries. Don't just try to quit. Upgrade the habit loop. Reach for Fume instead. We recommend the Journey Pack, which comes with the Fume device plus 6 delicious flavors. The Fume is something I like to keep in my purse. I have a little inner bag that I keep, you know, my lip gloss and my headphones and things, and I always make sure I have my Fume in there because it's something that if I'm in a waiting room or I'm stuck somewhere or whatever, fixing to board a plane, I like to pull it out. I like to fidget with the pieces. It feels good in my hand. I'm a mint girl. They have raspberry. They have maple pepper. I mean, they'll go all over with these flavors, but I am just a classic mint girl. But get you that Journey Pack so you can try them all out and figure out which one you like. When you grab a Journey Pack, you'll also get a free gift just for using our code CREEPY. Fume has already helped over 700,000 people take steps toward better habits. And now it's your turn. Use our code CREEPY to get a free gift with your Journey Pack. Head to tryfume.com. That's tryfume.com. And use code CREEPY to claim your free gift today. All right, this next one is from N, and the subject line is Gnome is where the heart is. Hello, mothers. It is your daughter. Longtime listener, but first time Freaky Friday writer here. You can call me N. I guess I'm anonymous, but the details in here couldn't possibly match anyone else's life. So if you know me or I'm your therapist, hey. I will start off by introducing myself a little, as these details matter very much to the story and to future stories I'll someday get to writing in. I have had the most wonderful career in public mental health and social services. I started fresh out of college more than a decade ago, working in case management with people experiencing serious mental illness, substance use disorders, and in various states of housing insecurity. I went on to work for my town's public fiduciary as a field investigator in guardianship and conservatorship matters. Shout out to Heather, my only parasocial probate connection. As we learned in hashtag Free Brittany, every state does things a little differently. But in mine, the public fiduciary is an office that acts as the last resort when someone truly has no one else to help take care of them if they become incapacitated. In my job, I investigated people, both my clients and their family members, figuring out who they are, or more accurately, were, before they ended up in whatever crisis they were in that involved us. My job was piecing together people's stories and trying to find family members. It was the perfect job for my true crime web sleuth brain. However, these situations were often tense and emotionally charged, and not everyone, clients or family, were always happy about how these cases would turn out. We worked directly with Adult Protective Services, and there were routinely dynamics of abuse, neglect, or exploitation within families, which could even bring dangerous characters into the picture. Cases involved money, assets, last wishes, and inheritance, which everyone here who has ever had a family member or seen a true crime documentary all know are touchy subjects and motives for crime. The reason I planned my exit from that job and went to graduate school were more financial than anything related to the job itself or my clients. As my first mentor in fiduciary work always said, there's no free lunch in public service, but it turns out there are also no raises. In 2020, I took on a part-time job at an inpatient psychiatric hospital as I was starting school to become a therapist. While I've not been seriously harmed to date in my 10 years career, I have experienced my fair share of trauma, been physically assaulted by patients at work, and had other close calls while working out in the field myself. The TLDR, I consider myself a pretty calm in a crisis, and I've seen some shit out there, so it takes a lot to scare me. All of this is important context for the story. In 2021, I was still working in my probate investigator job, writing my master's thesis and working at the psych hospital. I was working 6 to 7 days a week, and I was doing a lot. In the middle of that, my amazing partner was pretty much single-handedly renovating our house that needed to be completely redone because of mold and the previous tenants trashing the place. He and I were living on the property in an RV with our 3 dogs. It was close quarters and just generally a weird time in life and the world. Not that it's gotten much better, am I right? The tenants that had lived there before had left a huge mess of the yard too, which had a ton of debris in the otherwise dirt and gravel lot. We had been picking up broken glass, rusty nails, cigarette butts, trash, and more since moving back. We also found other random objects, like kids' army men and toys buried in the dirt. Looking back, I think it was a sign of my burned out mental state and active avoidance of my thesis project that I got super into collecting these, quote, dirt jewels and sorting them into piles by the RV. What I was going to do with these garbage piles of color-coordinated beer glass and size-coordinated rusty nails, you ask? Art, I guess? Who knows? But I kept it up. One day, I found a really exciting dirt jewel. There, in the dirt, was a dusty, grimy, 2-inch-tall plastic gnome dancing with a squirrel. He looked old-fashioned, kind of like the Norman Rockwell-esque rosy-cheeked figurine your grandma would have at Christmas. I thought he was kitschy and that he would fit well in our camping vibe RV. So I washed him off, brought him in, and put him proudly in the kitchen window. My partner liked him and thought he was a cute find. A few days later, I was coming home when I spotted a flash of color in the dirt yard. Could it be another gnome? This gnome was about the same size, but was in a different pose and was a different style of gnome art. It didn't look quite as old, but it was still pretty dirty and looked like he had been there a while, like the other one. I washed him off and added him to my dirt jewel area outside the RV. Time passed, and while I had my two little dirt gnomes on display, one in the RV window and one outside, I gave them little thought as I went on about my brain-melting work weeks and my partner toiled away at the home reno. That's when it got weird. One day, I came home from work, and there was another gnome. However, this gnome wasn't found like the others. This gnome had been left there. Laying in a very obvious place, on a big rock we used to hold open our front gate, was a third fucking gnome. Something about this gnome felt completely off. It was huge in comparison to the first gnome, which was only about 1.5 to 2 inches max. This thing was like 4 inches and looked brand new. It was shiny plastic and was sitting in a yoga lotus pose. The way it was placed in such an obvious way for me to find when coming home made my stomach drop. Who was doing this? Suddenly, the gnomes weren't any fun anymore. My heart started pounding and my head went on a swivel, scanning the empty lot and desert around our house to see if the gnome's owner was somewhere watching me in the brush. I went into the RV and started telling my partner what I had found and how I was starting to get really weirded out by these gnomes. I started thinking about how the other two gnomes had been on display in my window and in front of the RV. Other than that, it's not like I'm known as like the gnome girl or anything to people in my life. So who would do something like this? Were they watching me? Most importantly, why? I was going in circles, asking these questions aloud. Every true crime and stalking case I know, every disgruntled family member, and every odd interaction I had had with a psych patient in the last 6 months or so started running through my mind to try and find a connection to these gnomes. Not only does this person know about my recent history with gnomes and that I do yoga, but they know where I live. By this point, I was fully crying, pacing the RV in fight or flight mode. I was starting to transcend into that meme of Charlie Day with the yarn strings behind him when my boyfriend bursts out laughing, hugs me, and starts profusely apologizing, saying, it was me, I did the gnomes. That's when a totally different wave of tears hit me. Hugging me, he went on to explain, after you found the first gnome and liked it so much, I got another one from my parents' yard, and when you liked that one, I ordered more on Amazon, and I've been hiding them for you, but you've been so stressed, and you come home after dark, sometimes you haven't found them yet. Guys, I was completely speechless, which does not happen as evidenced by this verbose email. This amazing man found time while literally making us a house with his bare hands to notice that a 2-inch tall, dirty gnome brought me joy while I was going through it. That is love. I'm writing this after all this time and hoping you'll read it because my sweet partner is the one going through it now and could really use some extra gnomes, if you get what I mean. It's 2025 and the house is finished, but one of our three dogs from the RV pack, our sweet boy Clyde, aka Bo, just entered doggy hospice today. While we all are a family now, Clyde had to choose to allow me and my two pups into the pack when me and his dad first met on a Hinge date dog walk all those years ago. Without Clyde's permission, I would not have my sweet partner and this beautiful life and the gnomes he gives me. My partner has taught me to feel safe despite the life I've lived, that not everything in life is scary, and that people like him can be trusted. He's a special man with a special dog, so it would really mean a lot if my moms could say a few good boys for our guys as Clyde gets ready to go. I hope everyone listening can find the dirt jewels today, wherever you can, and leave a couple gnomes behind for the people who need them. Peace, N.
Oh, well, first of all,
yes,
all very good boys, sweet Clyde. And that is so hard when we all reach that point with pets where you're like, man, there's a clear change. And from when he was like, you know, a puppy type or just middle-aged dog. And then at least with mine, one day I'm just like, damn, this snuck up on me. Or maybe I haven't really been noticing, but like, you're kind of like a little old man now.
Yeah, sweet Clyde. And I love that he not only adopted you, but also your two pups. Y'all could be a big one, big happy.
And that is true. If somebody's dog doesn't like you,
bye.
That's very telling. So that is a part of like getting into a relationship. Like you're blending your family for sure.
For sure. I love
your hubby is so sweet for this. I don't think I've ever heard the word gnome said more in my life. So it's tickled me very much because also gnomes are just funny little things. Oh, yeah. But also they could be freaky because if you think about these gnomes and they're like, oh, removing ourselves. She likes us, you know, and
walking up
luckily
there.
Or that wasn't the case, but now you get to go on a treasure hunt for all these gnomes that you didn't know where they were until they didn't even exist.
Exactly. It's like, now that I know they're out there, I want to go dig for them. That sounds even more fun. But yes, if you found one yourself and displayed it in your window and then one was kind of sitting there like, saw you liked this, I could see how that would be like, who sees this? Who's been around my property to like notice this and to notice me liking this? And I hate it and I want to know more. But I have several gnomes on my back porch that I've gotten throughout the years. And my favorite one's this one that's like reclining on like his side with his hand behind it. He looks like Burt Reynolds on a rug, but like fully dressed as a gnome. And he's just got this sarcastic ass look on his face. And the way he's angled when I look out to either a loud neighbor or something outside, he kind of looks like he's going, I know, right? I'm like, thanks, little guy. So I love a good garden gnome. But those are all gnomes I either acquired myself or were gifted to me. If one just randomly showed up, I would be terrified, certainly.
How many gnomes would have to randomly show up in your yard before you were concerned? Just one?
Like if it was someone said it somewhere from that it looks like it was for me to find, I would be nervous about just the one. Yeah. With no note on it or anything. Because the other two, she was like already finding kind of, I want to say, they're dirt jewels. Let's not call it garbage. It
first of all, dirt jewels, great. Also, there's an improv troupe somewhere with that name. But if you have just land around you and you were already cleaning stuff up and some of it involved children's toys.
Yeah.
I think
I would be nervous.
Think after the first two, if I found them, I'd be like, okay. But as soon as one shows up on a rock, that's when I'm starting to question these gnomes.
Yeah, when it deviates from the norm of like, oh, this was set somewhere for me or like on my car or like near my front door. Yeah, I don't like that because it implies somebody noticed and then obtained the gnome and then returned to give you the gnome. And that's too much dedication to a person. I don't know their identity. So I'm glad it was your partner this whole time.
Well, I was going to say, we're so on guard as women that our first thought was like, somebody found me. A psych patient found me and is putting these gnomes around instead of thinking, oh, maybe my boyfriend noticed.
Did you do that
out for me? Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Inn, for trusting us with that. And yeah, feel free to write in any of your future stories. Thank you so much for the work you do in mental health. That's
not
incredibly
easy work.
Taxing, difficult job. So keep taking care of yourself as well as taking care of everybody.
May we all leave some gnomes behind for some people every day.
And don't be, let yourself chill and look for the dirt jewels because that sounds nice too. Just wherever you can find them. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This next one is from Sierra with the subject line, Almost Chainsaw Massacred. The year is 2003. It's Friday, and the newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie is out for rental at Blockbuster. On Fridays, my stepdad would stop on his way home and grab movies for all of us to watch together over the weekend. He liked horror movies. I blame him for at least part of my obsession with the macabre. Me, 11 at the time, my sister Bree, who was 9, my stepdad and mom watched the movie that evening after dinner in the living room. Now, if you don't remember, this is the movie with Jessica Biel in it, and at the end of the movie, it reads that the man who was the killer was never found. Me and my sister looked at each other, horrified. We asked my stepdad if that was true, because he was the smartest person we knew, and he said, "Yep." We left for the kitchen to grab snacks and drinks before retreating to my bedroom for the rest of the night. We were shook about the movie. Bree went off into the bedroom and was lounging on the futon before I came in with my snacks and went to shut the door. I was facing her, discussing the movie and how horrifying it was, when the look on her face was of complete and utter horror. Before I could even turn around, all I heard was the roaring sound of a chainsaw in my ear. Bree screamed at the top of her lungs, and I just collapsed on the floor in a puddle of my own piss. At 11, I accepted that my fate was to die, and I laid there and accepted it. Between absolutely howling laughter, my stepdad asked me if I was okay, at which point I started laughing and replied, "Yeah, I just peed my pants." I still laid there. I could not move. My body was frozen. My sister asked what he was using to make the chainsaw sound. It was a toy from my brother's room. My stepdad was full of pranks, but that was the one time he got me good. One time he scared my brother's friends that were sleeping over so bad they all went home. He should have been a scare actor in a haunted house. His talents were wasted. Rest in peace, Jim. We lost him to a brain aneurysm last year, but I want his legacy, no matter how terrifying and effed up it was, to live on.
I'm glad you have a good sense of humor. Just the immediate peeing of pants is so real, though.
Yeah, dude, relatable. Just hit the floor, piss the pants, and then assess the situation. You're like, guess I'm changing out of these PJs. But yeah, I'm glad you took it in stride. And it sounds like he was doing it in good fun. You know, he like immediately showed that it was him. But I love that you have your love of the macabre that you inherited from him. Showing you when you're 11, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think we all relate to that, too, of being, like, way too young to watch movies that we watched.
Oh, man. Tommy's got some stories. Oh, yeah. Blockbuster days were the days when you would just get some, order pizza and just rent some movies and fucking hang out. Yeah.
Walking around Blockbuster, if they did those movie deals and they're like, and it's a bucket of popcorn and a candy and a movie, I was like, oh, my God. Even though it was just, like, Act Two microwave butter popcorn, but it still felt like it was like better because it was from
special treat.
Yeah. I love it. Those memories. Well, thank you for sharing Jim with us, and we're sorry you lost him, but it sounds like his terrifying legacy definitely lives on with you. Maybe you can pull a prank on your brothers and sister to kind of bring back some of the memories.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This final one is from Kay Cruz, and the subject line is, Mother, how could you? Hello, Cine Sisters. I love you, and I hope this makes you laugh as much as it made my family laugh for the past 20 years. Not sure if it counts as a brush with true crime or not. Let me know. Halloween in Deep South Texas. No, not Corpus Christi. I'm talking the tip of Texas, y'all. Was unhinged back in the 2000s. Neighborhoods filled with serial killers at every corner, ready to chase the plump, candy-filled children with real machetes, chainsaws, or other rusty lawn tools were pretty common. When I was around 9 or 10, we went trick-or-treating at one of these neighborhoods. It was a lot of fun seeing everyone out and dressed, committing to the silent, creeping clown acts or spontaneous chases that occurred when a killer picked a target. At the end of the night, as our parents began to drive us out of the block, we spotted a corner house that we had missed. My brother and I pleaded for one last stop, and my dad pulled over to let us out while mom and dad stayed in the car to wait. Once at the candy station, Jason Voorhees, Pennywise, and a couple other notable costume killers were all waiting for us. Y'all, they were so nice. They could see how nervous we were and graciously handed over the candies, complimented our costumes, and they even offered to walk us back to our car since dad had parked a bit far along the street. Again, so nice. They walked behind us, and as we approached the car, I could see my mom's face go from joyful, people-watching, to total horror. She must have had a mini panic attack because she proceeded to lock every door in the car. The funny thing is, her panic caused us kids to suddenly panic. My brother and I began slapping her window and shouting for her to let us in. All my poor mom could do was shake her head no and apologize. I think my dad may have been laughing at this whole two-minute ordeal until my mom finally calmed down and unlocked the doors. She managed to apologize and thank the very considerate serial killers for bringing us back safely. To this day, we never let mom forget how she abandoned us to our fate. I love you, mom and dad. Thank you for all the great Halloween memories.
Oh, what a great memory. And what a great Halloween tradition where everybody's right? just like, fuck it, we're going all out. Machetes. Right. Real. Chainsaws, real.
It's people in like in the neighborhood committing to the bit. You have your own like Universal Halloween Horror mm-hmm. Nights where it's like a roving haunted house out there. But I also love that when they see kids that are like yeah. nervous that they're not like being shitty and mean to them. But like Pennywise is like, let me walk you back. And you're like, okay.
And then you see your two sweet little kids coming aww. Down with that trio behind them. I think your mom acted rationally and I'm on her side.
Yeah. She was like, sorry, kids, I can't let them in. I also do love, though, the idea that locking the doors will protect you from Pennywise and Jason.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even if only in anyone yeah. in It or all the Friday the 13th had just yeah, done like, that.
Pennywise is like, oh, the door's locked.
You locked it. Darn it.
See you later. I guess I'll keep going. But yeah, she was willing to throw your asses right under the bus. She didn't give a fuck.
I love it. It's yeah. Well, I love Halloween. And like the mm-hmm. past couple weeks, I've been getting the feel. You know,
I'm ready for it.
Usually the feel comes when you get like a brisk, cool air and you're like, I sense fall. This is just because I'm willing it.
You're willing it to
come. I'm willing the fall to come.
Some Halloween vibes in Rutland when we were in Vermont, because they're like famous for their Halloween parade. And we were kind of looking it up and stuff, and we're like, this is like, it would be a good place. Any place like where that is a smaller town that goes like all out for Halloween.
Yeah, I love that.
That's the kind of like you'd see in like a Disney movie, like a Disney Channel original movie is what I mean.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Hell yeah.
Or like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Disney movie.
Where you just go. Yeah. Where they go all out. Well, what fun Halloween memories. And I'm glad that you forgave your mom after she let you back in. Hopefully you got some badass candy for all of that.
For sure. But still give her shit, though, because that's a fun thing to, like, always bring up. Especially if you see, like, Pennywise or Jason be like, oh, mom, did you want to shove me in front of you to save yourself?
Do you want to go lock yourself in the other room and just let me fend for my life?
Oh, so good. Thank you, Kate Cruz, for so many.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody, for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, if you've got something creepy caught on camera, you found a weird or unexplainable clip online, or you just have a funny video you want us to see, please send it our way. We will live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. And when you are a free member on Patreon, we do monthly bonus content for you, as well as this weekly Sunday Scary stream. So please come over and check it out. All you got to do is just enter your email and you're good to go, baby. And if you like our free episodes, you'll love the Patreon bonus content. You can join for free, like I said, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where her honor rules on petty grievances, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where I actually have one lined up and ready for you guys. It's coming soon that... I've been scrolling, baby. I've been scrolling. We also have Unpopular Opinions, Am I the Asshole, and other subreddits we feel require our input. If you're not sure if you want to sign up for Patreon, try a free trial. That is where you sign up at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you do stick around, you get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and truly the most amazing part of it, the community of the best listeners on the whole entire internet. And head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. While you're on our website, you can review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find information on Crime Wave at Sea 2027 on our live show page, or go straight over to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER so that you can get aboard with us. Hang on, let's go on vacation together and hang out. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to some advice from us, a pep talk, a hello, a congratulations, head over to cameo.com/Sinisterhood and let us create a customized video for you that can help you celebrate whatever it is you got going on. It's a thoughtful gift and it's always unique every single time. So go to cameo.com/Sinisterhood. You can find Christy on the web at Christy or GTFO or at Christy M. Wallace on Instagram. I am everywhere at Heather versus the world. As always, the devil rules the airwaves. Keep it creepy.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off.
Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.